Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Michael Manning. He's a Catholic priest whose distinctive ministry is television. His program, The Word in the World, is seen weekly on the Trinity Broadcast Network. We're going inside the pages of Father Michael Manning's book, The 15 Faces of God, a quest to know God through the parables of Jesus, published by Doubleday Religion. Father Michael Manning, it is such an honor to have you with us today, especially to talk about the 15 Faces of God, a quest to know God through the parables of Jesus. I started reading it, Father. I couldn't put it down. What great. A wonderful read.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's an act of love. I've really experienced God in a beautiful way, coming at him with this perspective of God being seen. Well, first of all, Jesus just loves his Father so much, and it's an overwhelming reality of his life to know that he used parables continually as a way of conveying this message. So I kind of say, well, let's look at the parables, and let's see how we can understand this beautiful image of the Father that Jesus wants to share with us. And so I took 15 of the parables and allowed them to be real sources of us understanding and loving God more.
It really is such an important point that you bring up about how Jesus is always pointing us to the Father, and there just seems to be a real awakening of that truth in these current days, isn't it?
Very much so, very much so. And I you know, one of the more important things that happens from this is that all of a sudden we start to find that in our great world of division between Christians and Muslims and Jews, isn't it wonderful to think of Jesus loving the Father, and perhaps this could be the bridge of us coming to a greater respect and love and perhaps union with Jews and Muslims? I don't know. It's an exciting perspective on the whole issue.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It really calls us into understanding that sense of spiritual fatherhood and how we are connected as his children. All of us.
Well, the children of Abraham. There's a real bond.
Well, talking about modern technologies, it's still wonderful that we can hold a book in our hands, and holding 15 Faces of God, a quest to know God through the parables of Jesus. What a gift. You know, Father, I read lots of books every day, and this is one I opened it. I wasn't trying to be blasé, but boy, you hooked me right in the very beginning.
Oh, I love it.
It was perfect.
Thank you, Chris, very much. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, it was one of those kind of books that, you know, you can read from the very beginning and go all the way through, or as I did initially, and I opened it up, and I went, all of a sudden, it just opened up to trust. And that, like all the other chapters, you use the parables, but you help us to apply it to what we're experiencing today, and whether it's forgiveness, or it's trust, or it's just being humble enough to allow God to serve us. I mean, those are things that challenge us, isn't it, in today's world?
Isn't it marvelous to think, though, that God really does trust us? I look back in my own life, and I think of my mom and dad, and they're trusting me to drive the car, and they're trusting me to go off to the seminary and whatnot, and yet that was such a beautiful foundation. And then to imagine that God, even in my sinfulness and my brokenness, he trusts me, and he even believes in me as the one to be able to carry out, along with every other Christian, the beautiful challenge of the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus entrusts his apostles. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. You know, he has this big vision, and then he comes to the tax collector, and he comes to the fisherman, and he comes to even the terrorist. It was Simon the Zealot. He was a terrorist. And Jesus comes to him and was able to transform their life with a beautiful trust. Oh, boy. Well, I get excited about that.
Well, you get us excited about it, Father. And again, in the 15 Faces of God, you really, break open our hearts to that love of the Father for us today, not just contained in a story that was 2,000 years ago, but you ultimately encourage us continually to turn to the Father as Jesus did.
Amen. And it's the difficult difficulty is that it's so very simple. I mean, it's overwhelmingly simple.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have so many obstacles in our life that hold us back from that simple love of God. We just don't want to trust that God would trust us. We don't want to believe that God is even patient with us. Isn't that a marvelous thought, too?
Mm-hmm.
To think that God, in the midst of all of our striving, is patient with us. Oh, my, I find that so consoling to know that he's allowing me, even when I fail, to hold my hand and bring me through with something of patient trust.
A big part of it is we've lost, in many cases, the ability to know what the Father's will is for us. We, as you pointed out earlier, so many different ways now that the world breaks into our lives. How do we know when it's really the Father breaking into our lives?
Yeah, a lot of times we need to be able to, for me, I spend a lot of time, I have a really beautiful devotion to God the Holy Spirit. And I find this Spirit so helpful when it comes to the questions of, where are you, God? Where are you? And how can I understand you in the midst of so many so many distractions that are happening in the world? I really encourage stopping and really turning to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to just rush into our lives with great help and care.
Mm. And you encourage us to go into those stories, those parables that Jesus gave us that are, again, not so much stories of just at that place in that time, but are stories that are applicable today in our world. And what would you say, is there a pattern that Jesus uses that makes it so relevant and so workable?
Well, he takes the common realities of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, kind of relating to your previous question. The common things of a person working, trying to find a job, waiting for someone to hire him, and then being hired. What does it mean for a tree that doesn't blossom the way it should? What do you do with dishonest people that work with you? All of these things are just so relevant to our world. And so if we want to know where God is, it's just this quiet acknowledgement of the ordinary things that are happening in our life. And Jesus is saying, look at them. Allow the Spirit to move in your eyes and your soul to understand that I am working with you, and all of these things that are happening can be open doors to the greater understanding of how I want to be part of your life.
Mm. You know, the one thing that in reading the 15 Faces of God, not once, but twice, if not, I'm in my third pass, that the thing that keeps coming back to me is to relax and to trust. And that relaxing part, that's hard. I mean, that is really, in today's stressful world, that is really a challenge.
One of the things that I found in my own life, kind of through my spirituality and the terms of relaxing, and I agree with you, how do we deal with all of the conflicts and the questions, is the simple awareness of the power of now, mm-hmm. of just letting my faith be what, for example, my sitting here and talking with you, there isn't anything more important in my life than doing that. And if I could allow myself to be so surrendering to that fact, to that reality of just talking with you and listening to what you say and coming back, isn't it amazing that that's all God wants me to do in life? He doesn't want me climbing Mount Everest. He doesn't want me being able to go out and preach these other things. All he's just saying is, listen to what Chris is saying, and then, in the best you can, try to respond to what she says. And that's all God wants. Mm-hmm. And what an experience of peace to be able to live in that present moment and just to do this. It's the example of, I live out here in California, and I'm the Los Angeles Angels baseball fan,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoy that, although they're having a very tough time this season. But I model it, a man standing in center field, watching the pitcher pick up the ball and throw it, and then the batter hitting it. And all that center fielder has to do is concentrate on that ball. That's all his life is. And I love that sense of concentration. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the trust that God wants us to do, in saying, Michael, all you got to do is sit here and talk with Chris, and that's all you got to do in life. Wouldn't that be great that we could center our lives just in the power of this present moment? Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's returning to that solitude and silence in some ways in our prayer life to be able to be
precisely
open to that moment,
yes,
isn't it?
Precisely, yeah. And just acknowledging that now, oh, it's so important. And it's so important in our faith. The question is, you know, could I stand in front of a firing squad and say, yes, I proclaim my faith in Jesus? Well, you know, I would hope that I'd be able to do that. But do I have the faith to believe that now, at this present moment, God is present with me, and this is all I have to do in life, is try to do this as best I can?
Mm-hmm.
That's real faith.
Oh.
And that's perhaps even more challenging than standing in front of a firing squad.
Wow. We're talking with Father Michael Manning, the author of 15 Faces of God. And Father, what's so wonderful about this book, too, that it's I have to say it, it's one of those where you'll pick it up, but you won't want to pass it to others. You'll probably have to pick up a couple copies because you will want to pass it on. But the prayers for reflection with these parables, oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't think I'll ever be able to whether it's the woman who comes to wash Jesus's feet at the dinner, or whether it is the many other parables that you cover in this story. I don't know if I'll ever be able to listen to them again without going into that prayer of reflection that you provided.
Well, thank you. I hope that it's going to move in a lot of hearts. You mentioned one of my favorite reflections, or one of my favorite parables. It's that woman coming in. What a beautiful story. Of the parable is one of Jesus challenging Simon, a Pharisee. But in the midst of an image of God that sometimes can be very churchy,
mm-hmm,
all of a sudden we have this woman who probably is a prostitute coming in and washing Jesus' feet with her tears, anointing them with oil, and then drying his feet with her hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you want to talk about intimacy? And isn't this overwhelming, that this is the Jesus that has called us to love? I mean, he's called us, in all of our brokenness, to even enter into the intimacy that is reflected so beautifully in this woman coming and touching Jesus and crying on his feet and anointing his feet in a very, very intimate way. And God says, hey, that's the kind of intimacy I want to have with you. Amazing, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as all his parables do, they serve on so many different levels. And that whole call to not judge others. And today, in today's world, Father, isn't it difficult, given the tensions that we seem to have and the anger and the rancor that's occurring now in our present-day world, we're called not to sin. We're called, you know, to follow the good. So you end up having to make some judgment calls. But, boy, to still love your neighbor, it's how do you play all these different sides out?
Well, one of the thoughts that I have, and you've mentioned it, is that when Jesus says, don't judge, well, you and I both know that we've got to judge. If you're a parent, you've got to judge as to the conflict between two children, and you've got to judge about if there's a criminal that's doing something wrong, a judge has to make a decision. But I think that one of the most important aspects of understanding what Jesus says when he says, don't judge, is seeing judgment in the context of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, we can so easily, whether it's denominational or world religions, start judging other people about how they are relating to God. And I'm hoping, as I mentioned before, that this book can be a bridge to greater understanding between all of the children of God, to greater love for one another, but to let go of having to judge someone because I'm a Catholic and you're an evangelical, and or you're a Jehovah Witness, or you're a Muslim, or you're a Jew. To stop the judgments, and instead of judging, starting to see the good that is in them, and letting that good be a real bridge to that commonness that we have as all children of God.
But then, as you are so. Generously so, offering yourself up in many ways because of that call that you have from the Father to be a bridge, you must find yourself under attack and in many, many cases. That must be difficult to deal with.
Well, it's not something that people want to talk about. One of the things that I find interesting as you go in with this, one of the tensions, of course, is the big tension that we're facing right now with regard to terrorism. I mean, we have a man bringing an American bringing a van into Times Square and wanting to blow it up, and we're so shocked and we're overwhelmed with this idea of terrorists. And we know that, you know, our battle in Afghanistan, our battle in Iraq, you know, this thing is with terrorists, and we all are just averse to the terror of what happened with the World Trade Center and with the Pentagon and with the field out in Pennsylvania. But did you ever think of the fact that Jesus chose a terrorist to be one of his apostles? We read in the Gospel of Luke that as they list the number of the 12 apostles, one of them is a man by the name of Simon, and it's been thrown in that Simon was a zealot. Well, now, the zealots, as we hear from Josephus, who was the historian of that first century, says that zealots were the people that were the terrorists trying to get rid of the Romans who were occupying the land. They would try to kill the Romans and get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And imagine this, Jesus chooses one of these to be his apostle. Not that he was condoning in any way the violence and the terror of what he was about, but wasn't it marvelous that he reached out and he allowed this person to be part of the teaching that he wanted to bring to the world, the reconciliation, the justice that he longed for? He included a terrorist or a person who had perhaps had a background of terrorism to come in and to be able to affect the change that he wanted. It speaks to you and me as we try to bring the message of Jesus to the world today, to really put a different perspective perhaps on how do we deal with the terrorism in our world. Is the only answer killing as many terrorists as we can, or is it somehow perhaps working at getting to the roots of what this terrorist reality is about? Boy, now, okay, Chris, boy, you're saying controversy. Here I am. Look at me. Boy, I'm going out on a limb here because I know this is a very, very delicate and tender issue. Mm-hmm. But my gosh, look at Jesus. Look what he does. He enters into the world that we're struggling with, and he confronts it, and he allows the power of love to be the real source of the change that he wants to bring in the world.
Yeah, it is. It seems to me, from what you're saying, Father, that Jesus gets into those tender areas. He's not afraid to go into those places where there is controversy. And
no, not at all.
Oh, my goodness, look what he did in that temple that day. he really put himself out front, spoke truth, and allowed himself to be taken in then into even violence to be done upon Amen. Him. You know, entrusting and being humble to obey the Father's will, which it was very difficult and challenging for him at times, wasn't it?
Very much so. Very much. Well, this whole concept of life and the goodness and the and our struggle with abortion and embryonic stem cell research, and we know how deeply Jesus loved life, and he cried out to the Father in the garden three times. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Father, could you let this cup pass from me? I don't want to die. I don't want it. I love life so much. And even in the Gospel of Luke, he even sweat blood at the thought of losing this life that was so precious to him.
Mm.
And you and I are now empowered with this sacredness of life in a beautiful way, following this love of life that Jesus gave so well and then brought even through his death to the victory of the resurrection.
Wow. We're talking with Father Michael Manning, author of The 15 Faces of God. And Father, another wonderful feature of the book is that you have questions for discussion. And what I found myself doing, not only can you offer that with friends and to speak with them, and it offers up great discussion to our more gathered. Jesus is there too, especially in those moments, and can kind of help that. But I found myself using these questions in my own personal journal and through my own personal prayer. What a wonderful resource. What a great start at a prayer help.
Oh, thank you very much, Chris. My vision was that there might be a group of people in a parish or a group of people just wanting to get together, and they might be doing that already and looking for a source of something to read. And so maybe to read a chapter in the course of a week or a month, and then to let these questions be the source of a kind of coming together in the discussion and going deeper into the mystery of what Christ is offering us through the parables.
Was there any one in particular? I mean, I'm probably asking you to try to pick from children which one would be your favorite. I don't think I couldn't do it as a mother, but is there one in particular that really spoke to your heart?
Well, I suppose it's interesting that I started off with the idea of a searching God. And I'm just so overwhelmed with the idea of God searching for me and loving me and longing for that intimacy. So much of my life is taken up in, well, I've got to say Mass, and I've got to say my prayers, and I've got to do these works, and I've got to some way, and sometimes I'm trying to think of, ooh, what can I do to please God, to make God love me and make him do this? And so I put all my effort into that. And then when I hear this story of God searching for me, and the story of whether it's the prodigal son, or whether the woman looking for the lost coins, or the lost sheep that I mentioned in the story,
mm-hmm.
to relax and to be able just to say, wow, the greater effort in this whole thing of salvation is God's just passionate searching and loving and wanting to know me and draw me closer and closer to him. As you said, like when you talk about your children, you can't say one more than the other, but that kind of stood out. Of course, I also mentioned that one about the woman, the woman that comes in and washes Jesus' feet. I'm so overwhelmed with the beauty of that intimacy and that longing for intimacy. But again, searching, intimacy, it all kind of ties together.
Well, it is. It's just a fabulous book. It's called The 15 Faces of God, A Quest to Know God Through the Parables of Jesus. And Father, I mean, whether someone is looking for a scripture study, or if they're looking for just a spiritual read, or a guide in Lectio to kind of help break that open, I mean, this serves on so many different levels. It is just such a tremendous blessing to us, and I just wish we had more time. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Let me just kind of come in on the last chapter, and it's kind of an interesting face of God, and it's the word optimist. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
That so many times I think we struggle because being preachers of the Word of God oftentimes is tough. There's a whole evil world out there. There's a whole thing pulling things away from the vision of what we catch with Jesus. And yet when I find Jesus telling the parable of the seeds and the, you know, four seeds are thrown out, and of all the seeds, only one works. And Jesus is coming and saying, Michael, Chris, as you preach the gospel, don't be discouraged. Know that the simplest things that you can do are going to be able to bring out great, great results of 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Chris, may you continue your great work, and thank you so much for the kind words you've said. And may you realize that the simplest things you're doing are bringing out great things. And that optimistic God is smiling at you with great love for all the things you're sacrificing.
Oh, Father, thank you so much. And you have been an inspiration and continue to be so, I'm sure, especially through the work that you're doing with WorldNet Productions. And I can't wait to see the Word in the world and so many other things that you're doing. Just on behalf of everyone that listens and has been touched by you, I very humbly say thank you. And God bless you for all the stuff that you do as well.
God bless you, Chris. Thank you very, very much for sharing your love for the Lord and also your excitement about the book. Thank you. Hope many people buy it.
May we ask for your priestly blessing upon those who are listening?
I just reach out to you and to all those that are listening with a deep, deep awareness of God's love and care. And may that permeate every fiber of your being today, especially in the nows that happen. And I pray that blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thanks, Chris. God bless you.
We've been joined today by Father Michael Manning discussing his book, The 15 Faces of God, A Quest to Know God Through the Parables of Jesus. Published by Doubleday Religion, this book can be found at all fine Catholic bookstores. You can also visit Father Michael Manning's website at www.wordnet.tv. I'm Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.